Blog Talk Radio.
The 2014 FIFA World Cup Review Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another exciting day of the FIFA World Cup. This is the FIFA World Cup Review Show, day number three, where we had four fantastic matches that started off so well, started off so exciting, just unbelievable stuff going on here in Brazil where you're seeing these great matches, these fantastic matches as we review everything going on here with the FIFA World Cup in Brazil. And for some strange reason, we have to start by saying, number one, what a well-officiated match it was, with Mark Geiger handling Colombia and Greece. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you have officiating like what we saw from Mr. Mark Geiger, you can definitely say that finally our referees are starting to get it. Not all of them, but right now Mark Geiger is getting it, because you want to know what, and you want to know why. It's really simple. Because that match over with Brazil and Croatia, that match, the penalty, that was undeserved for Brazil at that time. That penalty is now saying with these officials, we are not going to allow that type of refereeing to ruin what we've worked hard for to get to this moment. To get to this moment to officiate a FIFA World Cup, I think these referees are basically going to do this. They're saying, we're not going to ruin this World Cup like that official did for Brazil against Croatia. We understand it's a hotbed. The country at the moment in Brazil, you know, they have some problems. And at the same time, they have people coming in and, just, you know, trying to officiate a match as best as they can. And look what happened in these next four games, including the game with Mexico and Cameroon, because it was the referee in the middle who did not ruin the match. It was the nearside assistant who ruined the match up to a point where Mexico finally got their goal. But Mark Geiger, fantastic job. Mark Geiger, fantastic job. And guess what, everybody? What country did this referee come from? What country did this referee come from? He came from the United States of America. What have I been saying in my shows, in my American soccer shows? What have I been saying? Mark Geiger at the moment is the only competent referee from within pro and from within U.S. soccer that he deserves to be officiating a World Cup tournament. And look what he did. Look what he did. He definitely officiated a fair and a fantastic match between the Colombians and the Greeks. And there's another thing I want to talk about with that match, and we'll get to everything with our guest after this opening monologue. Let me say this, Samaras from Greece, well played, sir. You admitted it wasn't a penalty when you went down. You admitted it was not a penalty when you went down. You said, no, 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 it's not a penalty. I know that. I tripped over myself. He fell down. And even though the Greeks lost this game, I can still say that the Greeks showed fantastic sportsmanship when we could have questioned a possible penalty that might have been dubious. It was not, because it was not a – even Geiger said it's not a penalty. He said, get up, get up. Now, he didn't show the card. Did not show the card. But you know what? That's a great job by Mark Geiger. Because Mark Geiger said, look, you fell down. It's not a penalty. I'm not going to book you for a simulation. And even Samar said, look, I wasn't trying to dive. I tripped over myself, or I lost my balance and I fell down. We haven't seen this probably since, I would have to say, there was this Bundesliga game from Germany where we saw both sides, one guy falling down the area, tripping over his own feet, and the referee awarded the penalty, but the player went back to the referee to say, no, it's not a penalty. I tripped over my own feet. And then in the same game, from the opposition, he also fell down and said, it's not a penalty. Don't give me the penalty because I tripped over myself. And everyone gets handshakes. Everyone gets, you know, thumbs up. It's wonderful to see. Great, great stuff that we're seeing in this World Cup. And CONCACAF, our CONCACAF brethren, is 2-0 right now. Honduras still has to play on Saturday. The United States still has to play on Monday. But you know what? I have to say that Costa Rica just never quit. They never quit against the Uruguayans. And you know what? The Uruguayans are such a talented team. But when you're such a talented team, and when you go out there and you're up 1-0 on a penalty, which was a penalty, and then all of a sudden you decide to say, I think we got this in the bag. I don't think they're going to touch us. I don't think it's going to be any problems whatsoever. And you know what happened? My God. I'll tell you what happened. Costa Rica comes out of nowhere. They come out of nowhere, and they put three past Uruguay. That is an unbelievable thing to see. It is an unbelievable thing to just be a part of, to watch how much Costa Rica did not give up at all. They did not give up at all. And once again, this confederation of ours, do you know what they're trying to do? Do you know why they accepted the invitation from CONMEBOL to have the 100th anniversary Copa America Centenario in the United States? Because it benefits these players from CONCACAF, not just for the United States, not just for Canada, and not just for Mexico, but for everyone that's involved from Central America, even into the Caribbean, are seeing CONCACAF. And I understand it's only one game with Costa Rica. I understand it's only one game with Costa Rica, but still, maybe, just maybe, if we take a look at this, if we take a look and be serious about this, this confederation is improving. This confederation is growing. Now, I'm not saying that we as a CONCACAF confederation are going to finally get a country to win the World Cup this year, because you have to have some luck go your way. You have to. Because right now, South America and Europe are ahead. But the improvement is big. The improvement is huge. Because the possibility might become fact. The possibility might come true. Look at what happened. Look at what happened today. Uruguay assumed it was all over. And then here comes Costa Rica. Boom, boom, and then boom. Costa Rica doing a great job. England, Italy, you know, I think with this matchup, Italy had the advantage when it comes to players that have done it with the national team in Italy. A lot of players, a lot of grizzled veterans. Italy showed England why they were a little better. Now, England has some pretty good young talent. Obviously, we've watched them from the Barclays Premier League. Obviously, Daniel Sturridge, Danny Welbeck. We're seeing Rooney doing well here. And, of course, we're seeing players coming from Liverpool, coming from Man United, coming from Everton, coming off the bench. You really can't blame Joe Hart. He really did well in goal. It's just two fantastic shots beat him. Of course, the Mario Balotelli, what are you going to do with him, huh? There's nothing much you can do with him. There's nothing much you can do with Mario Balotelli when he goes out there and he does a job. It's just been unbelievable what is happening in this World Cup. And then finally, you're wondering, when will the Ivory Coast finally show up? What will the Ivory Coast do? Because they haven't looked that strong or that solid in these last two, you know, in the last two World Cups. And finally, they come out big. And it's a great second half by the Ivory Coast that gave them this lead and gave them opportunity. And all you can say is we are having ourselves a heck of a World Cup. I really think it's important to see that. I think this World Cup has been great. It's been strong. And you know what? There's still more to come. We still have matches tomorrow on Sunday, day four. The United States ability in day five on Monday against Ghana. It's just going to be absolutely fantastic, absolutely awesome. We are definitely going to see a lot of fun football, fun soccer right out there in Brazil, because right now I think we're seeing some great games. We're seeing some great play. We're seeing awesome stuff, and it's just absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful as we keep on talking about this 2014 FIFA World Cup live down in Brazil. I mean, wow. Could you handle all that today? Four matches starting at noon Eastern time, all the way ending at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. It's just been absolutely wonderful to watch. It's just been fantastic to see. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself right now, and you're thinking to yourself right now that this is going to be awesome, that this is going to be great, that this is going to be just a wonderful thing to discuss. And we're going to get into these matches right about now as we go ahead and have some conversations. And my co-host Carter Krishnar will be joining us a little later into the show. Of course, we're going to talk with former Fox Soccer analyst Gary Richards, Gary Gazza Richards, on the England side of things. We're going to have Diana Germano, former host of the Treble podcast, both of them, of course, formerly with myself and Carter Krishnar from Champion Soccer Radio Network. They'll be joining us a little later in the show to recap the match between England and Italy. And, of course, we're also going to talk about what happened just ending with the Ivory Coast and Japan, which it looked like Japan might have snuck by on this one. And, of course, we will talk about that great victory with Costa Rica finding a way and just never giving up against Uruguay. But, of course, the first match of the day We're going to talk about Greece against Colombia and awaiting the phone call, as we have already waiting for this gentleman coming on. Just to say, you know, this gentleman, I just met him recently, wonderful gentleman, of course, Greek native, lives in Queens, New York, and he's going to talk to us about the match. And here he is right now, of course, Mr. Marios C. Sfatos, who had to watch a tough match against a good Colombian side without Falcao. But joining me right now, Marios, how are you tonight? And what a full day of football we had, didn't we?
What an incredible day it was. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having me on the show. It's really an honor and a pleasure. This is the greatest celebration of sport and culture in the world, and I've been affected all day because of the Greece Colombia game. It's not possible to recover this quickly.
That's why I had to give you all this time, just so you could.
Well, I do appreciate it. I mean, it's one of those days that one of those games where you feel disappointed. The players feel disappointed. And I'm talking, of course, the Greek national team. To go down 1-0 in this, it was very important. Everyone on the team knew that it was very important to not go down. I mean, in 1994 and 2010, we've gone down within the first 10 minutes of our first game in the World Cup, and the problem is that when you do that changes all your plans, especially for a team like the Greek national team that is known for its exceptional disciplined, focused defense, that's known for its fast and deadly counterattacks. This just throws the whole game plan out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. That early goal in the fifth minute really put Greece definitely on their heels, and you have to play catch-up, unfortunately, from Armero in the fifth minute. But I really thought that everyone was able to recollect their thoughts, and they went out there, and they tried so hard to equalize that match. And they just try to go as many ways possible on the attack, down the side, down the middle, finding any way possible to try and beat the keeper for Colombia. And you just have to say they showed great heart in this match.
You know what? I think that we have to be very happy as Greek fans and the Greek national team with how they responded. It would have been very easy to eat another goal. Instead, what did you see? You saw a counterattack right away, very nice attack where Kone just barely missed tying up the game just a minute or so after the goal had gone in. You saw a team that that showed creativity. They came very close to scoring. I think that we saw especially players like Panayotis Kone, who our midfielder, Samaras, also was very active in the first half. The defense in the first half did not make any other mistakes. You would have thought that Manolas, who was the player who slightly deflected the ball away from the grasp of Karanesis, which resulted in that early goal. He's a young player. He wasn't always the player that had that central defensive position. Greece was in the unfortunate position of not having available for this team several of our very best center backs, such as Kyriakos Papadopoulos, such as Avram Papadopoulos, such as Siovas, who played a really important role in the qualification. I mean, we got to remember that in qualifying for the World Cup, Greece had only conceded six goals in total in 12 games, and that included the knockout games with Romania, where if you had seen those games, Greece played very, very well and was really an attacking force. But when you go down 1-0, It would have been very easy for those players to get nervous, make some mistakes, but they didn't. And not only that, but not only did you see attacking creativity, especially on the wings, and that also included Torosidis, which for me was the best Greek player on the field, Torosidis of Roma, who was attacking, was creative, was doing everything you could ever imagine, in addition to making sure that he was covering for defense. In the first half, the Greeks not only had superior possession and all those chances that they had, but they also were excellent in defense. They actually had an astounding 13 tackles in the first half, 13 successful tackles. So it's one of those things where at the beginning of the first half, at the beginning of the second half, instead of them scoring, they get scored upon, and that puts them in a difficult position. Certainly, the other big moment for the game, one has to say, was the big chance that Kone had in the 45th minute. That would have certainly, a goal at that point, would have turned the game around significantly. And let's not forget the exceptional opportunity that Theofanis Gekas had in the 64th minute, when from a wonderful pass from, you know, Samaras to Torosidis coming back in from 4 meters, he hit the crossbar. I mean, would have that was heartbreaking right there. And then, you know, the third goal that the Greeks ended up getting, you know, eating at the very end in garbage time, that really created a score which I think does not really represent the true picture of this game, and that's why the Greek players were understandably pleased with a lot of the good things that they did do in this game, but understandably very disappointed at the final result. That and you never know in a 3-game group series like this, goals could play a difference. Goals could be vitally important. And you know, let's see what happens. But you know, that -3 that we go into the second game with is not helpful.
No, it's not. But still, though, like you said before, Greece has to be happy with what was working well. But obviously, you have to fix what was not working well. The one thing I mentioned this when I opened the show, Samaras early in the first half. It looked like he was taken down. He tripped himself in the penalty. Geiger said no penalty, and even he admitted it wasn't a penalty. And I just wanted to say that's what I like about Greece and all the Greeks, their honesty on the field, on how they play. I was so happy to see that from him, and I wish he would have gotten rewarded a little bit more from that wonderful fair play that he did on the field.
Well, you know what? That's something that distinguishes this Greek national team from many other teams. It's not only their discipline and their talents. It's also that they are a team that is united, a team that has great spirit, and you've got some really wonderful personalities on it who know soccer, who are very talented, and Samaras has always. He's always a candidate for a fair play award. Just an excellent player, an excellent teammate, and really an example, I think, for other soccer players on and off the field. So that was nice, and that is very different when you consider all the diving that is very normal in world football right now. So yeah, that was very, very nice to see, but not surprising. That's the kind of players that we have on the Greek national team, and you really hope that they take the time now to look back, fix up some little mistakes, because on this level, on this the highest level of football, details can kill you. And Greece, this was a game where the details went against Greece, but they can turn this thing around. They have a team that has a lot of talent. They have a team that has speed. They have a team that can overcome Japan on the next game, which is next Thursday night. So, 6 p.m. Eastern. They have what it takes. And you know, we can rack. I think most people watching this game would say, you know what, Greece was unlucky. Greece played well. Greece rebounded quickly, dominated the first half, had great chances. Let's not forget the great save that Ospina had on the effort that Kone had. Samaras just missed by inches. There were many opportunities. And really, the Greek team did not make a lot of mistakes. Unfortunately, it was those three mistakes that led to those three goals, and that's what counts in the end.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this then, because I like to get an outside opinion about this. The terrible penalty that was given to Brazil in the first match of this World Cup this past Thursday, the terrible job by the assistant on the near side by the benches that took away two legitimate goals from Mexico, which they were onside completely. Do you feel the referees now, when they have seen those two shabby jobs, do you think the referees, they came together to say, you know what, we're not going to try and fall into that rut. We're not going to assume we know what's going on. We're going to make sure that we do the right job here. We're going to make this World Cup not about us. We're going to make this World Cup about the players. Technically, I think it is about the referees, because these referees are trying to prove that they are not like the referee in the Brazil-Croatia match, as well as the assistant crew members of the Mexico-Cameroon match.
You know what? The truth of the matter is that Mark Geiger today was very good. He didn't have to make any really difficult decisions. Luckily for him, also the players, I think on both sides, played the game. They didn't, start any fights. They didn't. There wasn't diving. I mean, the players helped him out today. But also, he and his team did an excellent job, which is great for all of us, you know, because he obviously is from our domestic league, and we're very proud of that. But certainly all the referees are listening, they're watching, they're being talked to, because what happened in the earlier games is very problematic. And I'm sure that this is a discussion we've had before, that FIFA does feel the pressure to put in referees from all different kinds of leagues, you know, from Asia and other places, which may not necessarily be the best referees, you know, who are not used to necessarily games where the ball is moving at this speed, or games of this importance. That said, I think that today we saw that in most of the games the referees were not the center of attention, and that was very welcoming. You know, obviously referees should not be guessing. Referees should not be calling anything unless they are sure that it's a penalty or an offside or foul, whatever it is. They should not be guessing here. And it's very easy, just like players at the beginning of a game or the first game in a tournament, referees also under incredible pressure, under extreme conditions with all the world watching, with things moving so fast, it's natural that there are going to be some mistakes. And certainly today was a much better day. And the referee in the Greece-Colombia game overall was good. So luckily that was not the issue. It was a good soccer game. I think the people who saw this game enjoyed it. There was a lot of Colombia is a very good team. You know, it's not just Falcao, a lot of excellent players. And, you know, in the few chances that they got, they took advantage of the Greece mistakes and they made it happen. So, you know, kudos to Colombia, a big win for them. 3-0 is not what the score really should have been. It's not really representative of what happened on the field. But, hey, it's all about scoring, and the Colombians did an excellent job. And hey, if we look at the stadium, what an incredible scene to have over 50,000 Colombians. You know, the Greeks who were there, and we actually had Greeks who went down from our area here in New York, from Toronto. They were there, but there were over 50,000 Colombians there creating an incredible atmosphere. And one more little factor that the Greek players had to deal with, and once again, congratulations to the Greek players for bouncing back after going down early and really making it a very interesting game where if one of those goals, one of those chances that they had, one of those great shots or headers had gone in, we would have seen a very different game.
Absolutely. I think if especially you were down 2-0 and that shot that nailed the bottom of the crossbar. Now, I mean, I said to myself, if that did go in, Greece would make this game a lot more interesting. It probably would have, you probably would have gotten the equalizer and ended up being 2-2. So we could see, we would have seen probably a much better match, but still it was a great match nonetheless.
It was a great match. And I do also want to remind the listeners that our best attacker, Kostas Mitroglou, he's still not at 100%. And, you know, post-injury, the problems he had trying to get back into shape after a second half of a season that was nothing like his season in 2013 when he was arguably the most exciting attacker in Europe. He's not 100% ready. He's not injured anymore, but it takes time. And you saw him come in into the second half, as did a very exciting player, Petar Didis. And they did add a little bit of an additional spark. But maybe the next game, depending on what Greece's plans are for the Japanese, maybe we're going to see Mitroglou start at center forward and play 60, 70 minutes. I don't think he's ready to play a full 90, but maybe we do need him there. Maybe Fetfatidis will come in and start that game, though Salpigidis on the right is a player that not only is dangerous on attack and a fast player, but he also goes back to defend. And we saw that, you know, Greece did have a problem on its left, on the left side, where Jose Holevas is an excellent excellent player when he's on attack. He's not always the best when he's on defense. And there were times when the Colombians took advantage of that. And but that's what it is. You know, this is a team sport. It wasn't. I can't say that it was any particular Greek player that didn't play well or the whole team played well. And in the end, it was Colombia came ahead in the details. And now Greece has to regroup Japan next Thursday.
Absolutely. But I have to ask you this before I let you go. What in this match with Japan and the Ivory Coast, what have you seen that Greece can find a way to take 3 points from the Japanese? Because I think at the moment, while they played a good match, it just, to me, it looks like they were missing something.
Well, you know what? The Japanese obviously can be very good in their passing and in possession. They're fast. They never stop running. But they do have some defensive liabilities. So Greece can take advantage of that. The most important thing for the Greeks will be to not go down early, all right? If they don't go down early and they can play the game that's kept them in the top 10 to 15 teams of the world for the last decade, if they play their game, solid defense, they got the attackers, they can be very creative in how they pass the ball around, and with quick counterattacks, that's how the Greeks are going to break down the Japanese defense, which is not perfect as we saw tonight. They have a few days to sit down, see what went wrong, and really the point here is Greece needs to get a good result. A win is really what they're going to need against Japan, and there's no reason why they can't do it. There really isn't. They have speed. There will have to be a few changes that they make so that there's a much better flow of the ball forward. We'll see what Fernando Santos, our coach, is going to do. There may be a player or two that comes in that wasn't playing today, such as Costas Mitroglou as center forward. So let's see what happens. It's going to be interesting. But Japan, as we saw today, does have some defensive weaknesses that the Greeks can take advantage of.
Absolutely. Marios, thank you very much for the time. Can't wait to have you back on after the Greeks face Japan in this great World Cup. Continued success and continued good luck in this World Cup, and let's see if Greece can take one of those two spots.
Thank you very much, and everyone enjoy this amazing World Cup, which already has given us so many great games, so many surprises, so many examples of individual brilliance and also teams that have surprised us. So it's just an exciting cup, and that's the beauty of the beautiful game, that it's going to surprise you. You're going to see something that you'll remember forever. So go Greece, go USA.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Take care now.
All right, bye-bye. That's Mario Sisvatos, gentleman from Queens, New York, Greek native as well, and everything that goes on with Greece, he gets involved with in the New York City area, a former member of the law in New York City and Queens, an assistant district attorney, wonderful person, and definitely very happy to have him on the show. Let's talk about what happened the next match, of course, and that was in Group D. Group D with Costa Rica and with Uruguay. Once again, it was a goal from Uruguay. It was a goal from Uruguay where it was a penalty. It definitely was a penalty. There's no doubt about it. Edison Cavani was able to convert it to make it 1-0 Uruguay, and, it looked like that would be all that probably Uruguay was going to need. Maybe they were thinking they can get a second and end the game, or maybe they felt that their defense was going to be strong enough to keep Costa Rica off the board. But then all of a sudden, that did not happen, and then all of a sudden, Costa Rica comes out of nowhere, and scores three amazing goals. Joel Campbell, in the 54th minute, leveled the match at one, and that was a hell of a shot. Duarte, 3 minutes later, what a diving header in such, that was a great cross. No matter what you can say or how you're going to describe it, that was a hell of a cross. That was a hell of a cross from Costa Rica to find a way to make this an entertaining match. I mean, my God, what a great free kick it was. And Duarte, with such a tight frame and a tight angle to get his head on that ball, and I'll be honest with you, I thought it was going to go off the keeper and maybe off the near post, but instead he goes across the face of goal and the ball goes inside the far post to make it 2-1 Costa Rica. This was a hell of a match. And then as it just kept on going, kept on progressing, kept on doing it, kept on becoming a wonderful thing to see. Marcos Urina, in the 84th minute, after he just subbed into the match, his first touch, unbelievable, slips it underneath Muslera, and it goes over the goal line, 3-1 Costa Rica. I don't know what Uruguay was thinking, because I'm telling you right now, what I saw from Uruguay was a team that, while they're still playing, obviously, but it looks like they thought that they can walk away with this. They look like that they can walk away with this victory. They think they can just go ahead and just, yep, there you go. It's all over. That's the end of it. it's all over. And then here comes Costa Rica, and they do an amazing thing. They do an unbelievable thing, and I'm telling you, I was so amazed to see how this match ended. The one thing that I was not happy with, and it was from Uruguay, and it wasn't, you know, their play. I think we've already discussed how their play was in this matchup. The truth of the matter is that I was very, very disappointed in their top player, one of their top players, obviously, Maxi Pereira, who was sent off in second half stoppage time. And just finding out, that's the first red card in the 2014 FIFA World Cup. That's the first red card that a player has earned because of a silly, stupid kick on one of the Costa Rican players as they're trying to just waste the clock. They're trying to just let the clock waste, going towards whatever's left in second half stoppage time. Just absolutely a terrible thing to see from a great player, because, see, this is what happens, and it doesn't matter, to be honest with you. It doesn't matter from their senior national team squad. We've seen this with their youth national team squads as well. If you remember the under-20 World Cup that was in Canada, where the USA gets out of their group, they face Uruguay in the second round, and, of course, that goes into extra time. And what happens is that those kids that are, you know, so talented that they, you know, Thomas Rongen had to try and grab Michael Bradley away from those kids, those Uruguayan kids, because they started to fight. They started to throw punches. And I understand there's frustration. And I understand, you know, you're expecting to do great things in this World Cup, and I understand that. But when you have a great and talented nation like Uruguay, because many, many people talk about Brazil and Argentina, and don't get me wrong, they have talented players up the wazoo. They do. They are fantastic players in South America. But sometimes Uruguay doesn't get talked about that much, unless you have like Luis Suarez, who's over in the Premier League, Edison Cavani, who was making his trade over in Europe in Italy for, I think it was for Napoli, and now he's over in Paris playing with Paris Saint-Germain. I mean, you know, Cavani is just such a fantastic player. They're all fantastic players. But when you see that they get frustrated, when you see that things are not going their way, and all of a sudden this situation happens, you know, it's a shame. It's just a shame. And I understand it's frustration. And you can't allow that frustration to bundle up, because, to be honest with you, you've got nobody to blame but yourselves, because you just took your foot off the gas and you let Costa Rica, who basically, they weren't let back in. They just continued to play their game. They did not quit. They did not give up, and they kept on going. And they played much better. So all I can say is that with Uruguay, you know, you put your foot off the gas. And right now, on goal differential, you're at -3. Now, obviously, there is plenty of time to try and bring back, you know, put yourself back into a position where, you know, you can face either Italy or Costa Rica. I have to double check when their next match is, of course. But you know what? You just have to say that, you know, it's going to be Italy the next. Let me just double check that real quick before we move forward here. But you have to say, yep, it's going to be England for Uruguay. That's going to be next up on Thursday, June 19th. I mean, you know, you have an opportunity to get yourselves back into this, without a doubt. You have an opportunity to get yourselves back into it. But once again, it's just so it's terrible to talk about Uruguay like this, because you know that they're a class. They're so classy. They play great football, and then unfortunately you see this side of them, and it just doesn't happen like that. It just doesn't, you know, you just hate to talk about that because you don't want to talk about it because they are such a great and talented side. But they have plenty of time to just right the ship, get back into it, and just go out and do a job here. That is the truth. That is the truth. They have a great opportunity to get back into this, and hopefully they will be able to come back and do a great job in their next match. And, of course, joining me right now is waiting on, of course, for our good friend, Miss Diana Germano. But and there she is right now, joining me, of course, Diana Germano, Gary Gazza-Richards, formerly from where we were at Champion Soccer Radio Network, this great England-Italian match. And Gary, ladies first, so Diana, what did...
Congratulations, Diana, before we go anywhere.
Thanks,
Jeff. Diana, what is it about Italy right now that they seem to have done a wonderful job, not just being a good defensive side, but, of course, timely goals that gave them the 3 points today?
Well, that's a good question because when the game started, I was not convinced about our back line. In fact, I'm still kind of not really convinced. We have two basically brand new players, Paletta and Darmian, who I think between them only have 4 caps. So I was really nervous about that. Paletta wasn't that impressive to me, actually, but I think just that we have a younger side than we have in the past couple World Cups. And I don't know, they just kind of sparked. It was a great match. You know, I have to tell you, I'm exhausted. I feel like I actually played in that game.
Diana,
I,
you know what? Can I jump in?
Please,
that was
do.
A great match. My goodness, you haven't been watching decent football for a while. You know what? I've got to say, Daniel, that was like watching two of the old overweight heavyweights knocking each other out. That's what it reminded me of. Both of them passed it. Both of them living on past glories. Neither of them are going to go that far. I guarantee you that Italy will go through to the next round. Guarantee it. England won't go through, and the upset will be definitely Costa Rica going through.
Really? You don't think England will
really?
Go through?
Nah, that rubbish. Absolutely. You know what? You guys know a lot about football and English football, and you do follow the US, and I understand that. And we're talking about England, Italy right now in Europe. Bolton Wanderers. If anyone has ever been through Bolton or ever not wanted to go through Bolton, that's what England are playing like. They are the Bolton Wanderers of world football right now. Absolutely embarrassing. I saw several times where the TV turned around and looked at Roy Hodgson, and he looked like he was looking for Harry Redknapp's number to ask for advice what to do. None of them looked like they were prepared.
This was towards the end of the match, I'd have to say, because I thought they played great. I think you guys have young players with speed. Sterling impressed me, Welbeck, Sturridge. I mean, I think they looked like a fresher England than I've seen in the last few competitions. They look good to me. I think that as an Englishman, you still have the mentality of, you know, that pessimistic outlook. And I think you guys are capable of going through. I really do.
Diana, I think the deal is that you've got Gerrard in there. You know, Pirlo is way and above a different level. Gerrard isn't in that
yeah.
same level. When you go into that game, you put Lampard, you put Gerrard. I know they've had their differences, not personally, but in the team, the chemistry has not always worked. But you fill that midfield and you cancel out Italy's midfield. Italy are going to get you on the counterattack, and that's exactly where they won the game. England needed to
right.
hold on to that game and not try and attack it and take it. They didn't look like they had any ideas. They didn't look like they wanted to play the ball quick enough and switch sides. You've got a speed demon in Sterling, I grant you. But you know what? Every time the ball went to him, was there a gap for him to run into? No, because Italy had done their homework. If they'd have switched sides, switched the ball, do the 45-degree angle, 45-yard cross field, given him something to chase onto, different game altogether. I just think when big games step up, the English big guns don't. And that's what worries me, is that I love the fact that they took a chance on all these youngsters. And you know what? 4 years' time, great. They've got all the experience in the world. This should be their table to lay on. But right now, I just don't see that they've got the experience. And I don't know. It's going to be a real interesting thing how they can turn this around for the next game.
Gary, besides the experience from the...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. Let me just ask a question. Besides the experience factor, Gary, is Theo Walcott's injury really the big thing that could be, that is, I shouldn't say could be, is missing from this English England side?
I think the fact that, you know, when they took him to the World Cup initially and everyone said, why are they taking Theo Walcott? He's never played, you know, international football, and he took for the experience. What he would have given you is the ability to say, you know what, I'll drop deeper, stick the ball over the top, and I'll chase it like a donkey chasing a carrot. Whereas Sterling doesn't have that experience. I think Henderson did a great job when he came on. He faded out of the game. You've got to say, you know, both teams look very labored, and it was 80-plus humidity, so it's got to be a factor into that. But they're just stepping up. This never really happened as far as England. They just looked around and went, okay, well, what's plan B? They didn't seem to have one. And you look for your captain, there's no real captain. There was no real leader out there today that I saw. Gerrard was a shadow of what he normally is. And, you know, he's been so tremendous for English football and for Liverpool Football Club, sticking to that team for his entire career. You just got to wonder, where were you looking? You got to look for somewhere. You know, guys, give me some guidance. Give me some help. Players don't do it on their own. They need guidance. They need that spark. They need that edge. Balotelli disappears for, you know, hours on end, steps up, one shot, goes in. Different in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Diana, I mean, Balotelli had a great, great header when that cross came in from the near side. And, you know, we know he's been a player that has been maligned at times. You know, I mean, obviously he's a nice guy. AC Milan did not have a season that they were supposed to have in the Serie A. But Balotelli, to me, looks like a guy, when he's on, he's committed to any attack on the field. He definitely shows up, and he delivers a great header off that great cross that he got.
Yeah, well, that cross came from Candreva, who was, for some reason, and I don't know why, because it was happening in the first half too, England really discounted him. He always seemed to be open. Put in a beautiful cross. I have to give it to Balotelli because he was patient today. You know, he has games where he's just not, you know, and he does silly, stupid things. But he kept at it. He kept waiting for the delivery, and it finally came. I actually was surprised. When I watched that cross, I thought, oh, it's going to go over. And it just dipped at the last moment, and he was right there. So I have to give it up to Candreva because he had actually a very, very good game. He had a couple nice shots, and he always was there to put in a cross.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, no, sorry, I just want to jump in before I didn't want to interrupt you. I think it on the downside, it exposed the naivety of the England defense. Leighton Baines got totally sold for that guy to turn around and just cross that ball over, gave him all sorts of space to pick out his man. And you're absolutely right, Diana. I mean, I used to be a striker, and you would just fade out of the game. You would get aggravated. You get pissed at people just because you're just, you know, your mind goes out of the game. You don't focus. You don't concentrate for that 90 minutes. And Balotelli does that. And the biggest compliment that I can pay him is watching Didier Drogba. If Balotelli can just be a little bit more patient, he's going to turn into the Didier Drogba type footballer.
Yeah,
he just
absolutely
needs to do it consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all you need when you're on this is basically the biggest stage on anyone's national team career. It doesn't matter what country you come from. Doesn't matter what confederation you're playing in. This is the biggest stage right now. Everyone is concentrating on Brazil, watching these two great national teams going at it, Italy, England. Obviously, there's going to be some questions. Obviously, there's going to be some fantastic play. But other than that, I think this was a great match. And I have to be honest, Diana, how worried were you when you saw Wayne Rooney attacking down that side late in the first half and that great ball that was crossed and put away? by Sturridge, because that was a fantastic cross.
It was a beautiful cross, and my heart dropped because you want to talk about. So we weren't even. I feel like we weren't even in the vicinity. In fact, I want to say that Paletta might have been defending Sturridge, but honestly, I don't even remember. It happened so fast, and it was a great cross on his left too, which is not his strong side. Rooney,
I think
am
what
I
happened
right?
there, Diana, is the fact that you had, if England could do that consistently, they had you beat, because you've got a slower,
absolutely
slower defense overall, even with the two young guys that were their first caps. But
we
England
did.
Just thought, okay, we've got back into the game. We can sit back now. And you know what? That's where Italy gets you. They slowly just suck the life out of you and counterattack and knock you out when you least expect it. And it was written exactly going to be that way. I hate to say it, but it you know, and I don't want to be a naysayer against England, but it's hard not to when you just, again and again and again, it comes up the same answers.
Sounds like it. It really does. And, of course, obviously now with the standings in Group D, Costa Rica has 3 points with a plus three. Plus two. Italy in that second position with a plus one. England with a minus one. And Uruguay with a minus two. Guys, let me ask you this, and Diana will go with you first and then Gary. Did it surprise you to see Costa Rica, or shall we say really surprise you that Uruguay took their foot off the gas after half and Costa Rica just kept on going and going and they got the surprise results?
Well, you know, yes, it was surprising, and no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't because, like Gary said, this is the world stage. You guys both said it. You know, this is the most important time for these players to shine, and Costa Rica was not going to give up, which I thought was amazing. I think everyone probably looking at that group thought that they discounted them immediately. I was one of them. I openly admit, oh, Costa Rica, well, they're going out. So it was very surprising, and, you know, good on them because, what was it, 3-1? The only goal mm-hmm. scored by Uruguay was a penalty?
Yep.
I thought they played amazing.
And I told
they're
you
they're
one
definitely
of that.
Going to be talented. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Gary.
You know what? When people ask, okay, nobody's ever won from Europe when it's played down in South America. So you've got to go, okay, host Brazil. Argentina should be up there. Uruguay going to be the dark horse of the three South American teams that can do it. Forlan is 35. You know, he looked really old and slow out there, and I'm sure the conditions are affecting everybody equally. It's draining. The humidity out there is just horrible. Anyone that's played in the humidity, especially you guys in New York, know what it's like. It takes the game. It looked like a bunch of 40-year-olds out there playing that shouldn't be anymore. And the thing is Uruguay were playing on a game, just like Italy, just like England. Their past history. I think Spain went out there expecting the same thing in their group. And yet the other guys are going, the other teams are like, hey, hang on a minute. We got nothing to lose. We have no pressure. Let's go out and have fun. This is a kid's game. This is about having fun. Let's show everyone what we can do. And just don't give up. Just, you know, don't let yourself be beat. Proves that anything that you do in life, you can do. Just look at what Costa Rica did.
Absolutely. I agree with both of you. Before I let you both go, Italy, Diana, will now face Costa Rica. So you've seen what Costa Rica has done. What does Italy need to do to go top of the group after, you know, before they face the Ticos in their next match?
Well, I definitely feel like Paletta and Darmian perhaps need to be substituted with more seasoned defenders, Abate and Bonucci. I also want to say, before we go away, is Sirigu had an amazing game. Buffon goes out yesterday. I'm confused. My understanding is he has a pulled hamstring, but then people are saying it's his ankle, so I don't know. But our goalkeeper was amazing. I think he really stepped up to the plate. So I just want to see a little more – I want to see more veterans on the pitch than there was today. And then I think we can handle it.
Gary, you got a you're going to get a grumpy Uruguay side that will not have Pereira, as he was red carded for that stupid swipe it was ridiculous. This is why I talk about Uruguay, because I think Uruguay has great players. I think they have wonderful, very, very great technical players, just like Brazil has, just like Argentina has, and they deserve to get whatever plaudits they do. But when you see that side of Uruguay, it doesn't matter if it's the youth kids or if it's the senior side, Gary, they always find a way to show that side, the ugly side of a national team that should not be able to do this.
It's the Suarez running through their veins. That's all I can say, because that's where else does it come from? You have the one chance that 10,000 kids want to do, get on that world stage. One in 100,000 will get lucky to get out there. And then you've got a minute to go. I know you're frustrated. I know you're getting beat. Hold your head up and be proud about it. Don't do something like that. That just now embarrasses, you know, you're going to walk of shame all the way back to Uruguay. And, you know, I think, honestly, out of the two games that are coming up next, Italy has it tougher because Costa Rica are riding a wave. You know, you say that the cat that's down and out, watch out for him. You know, we've got that lion pinned in the corner. He's going to come out scratching and digging. I don't think so. I think Uruguay could be on the potential of just, this is their last. Where's the youngsters coming through? Where's the next flow of players that are going to come through for Uruguay? I think they'll still probably hold back Suarez, though they shouldn't. But you know what? He's got to think about that knee and playing again rather than playing after 24 days of surgery. And I think that they're going to be done. I think this is England's one shot to get into the next round. Is if they turn it around and make a bunch of shots. I think you've got to start with Lampard. You've got to put some experience and settle that. Something to put the foot on the ball that can go forward. Gerrard doesn't like to go forward anymore. He stays a lot deeper. If you need that one that's still going to go forward, I think Lampard can do that. He has the experience. I think he can rip apart and push those balls left and right, wing to wing. And if we use the width, we'll outdo the slowness that Uruguay has at the back.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you again so much. It's a little reunion. I love this. I love having
you
guys on here.
We're reunited and it feels so good.
Don't give up your day job. Don't give up your day job.
Oh,
never, yeah.
Ever. Don't worry. I won't either. Guys, thanks again. I'll let you know what time for you after your matches to come back on here. Diana, good luck with Costa Rica. Gary, good luck with Uruguay and all. And thank you again for doing this. I really do appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's right. Don't forget, Monday's a big game for the USA, and we'll
absolutely
all be praying on that one. And don't forget, that's the big next game that's coming up.
Absolutely. The big game against Ghana. Three times, they say, is the charm, and hopefully they'll get that first win against Ghana. Guys, thank you again so much, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right, Daniel. Bye, guys.
All right, Daniel. You take care. All right, you take care, Diana. Good luck again. Bye.
Bye.
Diana Germano, formerly of the Treble Podcast, Gary Gazza Richards, of course, former Fox Soccer analyst and both formerly of Champion Soccer Radio Network like myself. Just a wonderful day to have good people, good friends that come on this show, and they just do a wonderful job of covering their national team. Of course, they'll both be rooting for the United States on Monday when they take on Ghana, 6 o'clock Eastern Time on ESPN this coming Monday. And as we move forward here on this special edition of the 40th Inspire American Soccer Show, of course, the FIFA World Cup review show, day number 3. We have a match between Japan and the Ivory Coast that was pretty good to see, pretty good to watch. And you know what? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's just a wonderful thing to see what has been going on. Just a wonderful thing to see what's been going on. And, you know, when that first goal went in for Japan by Honda, you're wondering that maybe that this is the start, that maybe Japan is going to go on a rampage. They're going to go forward. They're going to go and play strong and play hard and play fast. And then what happens after the half? You know, they're feeling comfortable, they're feeling good, There's no worries. There's no problems. But at the end of the day, you see what I saw is that the Ivory Coast came up big. The Ivory Coast decided to come up big, play hard, play strong, and they wanted it more. They're like, that's it. We're not going to go out there, and we're not going to assume that it's that they're going to beat us. I'll tell you right now, just unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff, and just wonderful things when you can turn it around, being down a goal and then going forward, and it's just absolutely fun stuff. So it's just unbelievable things going on here in this World Cup. You're seeing amazing, amazing plays. And once again, SportsCenter is showing you all these highlights. If you're watching SportsCenter, they're showing you all these highlights. My God, it's just going to be, great stuff to see and, wonderful things going on. Just great, great stuff going on. And then once again, as we said, the Ivory Coast decided not to lie down, but at least they said they're going to go back out there and they're going to play hard. And this all got started subbing in Didier Drogba. This whole thing got started by subbing in Didier Drogba in the 62nd minute. And then, all of a sudden, two goals in quick succession. It's just been absolutely great. And you know what? Good on the Ivory Coast. My God. 64th minute, leveled at one. Great header by Wilfred. He pulls the elephant's level, and then all of a sudden, it was the same situation with Gervinho 2 minutes later. It's funny, 62nd minute, here comes Drogba. It looks like he brings a calm to the field for his teammates. And then 2 minutes later, the match is leveled at one. Then the 2 minutes later after that, it's another goal. Gervinho puts it in to make it 2-1 Ivory Coast. And you know what? It's just been unbelievable what was going on over there with the Ivory Coast, how they played, how strong they looked, how wonderful they got together. And it's just been an unbelievable situation where you have this setup and you have the Ivory Coast going out there. Japan looked defeated, demoralized, and they just couldn't find a way to pull out an equalizer, either not good play on the field or just the keeper was just that good for the Ivory Coast, because he probably had to batten down the hatches as well. And you know what? Give Barry Kopa a lot of credit. Obviously, once again, you're not sure about the age of the players for Japan. You're not sure about the age of the players for Ivory Coast, but obviously Gervinho and Wilfred was able to go out there. Wilfred Bonny was able to go out there to just do unbelievable things, scoring goals, just absolutely wonderful stuff for the Ivory Coast. And you know what? You just have to say, to be honest, you just have to say that they deserved it. They absolutely deserved the 3 points to the Ivory Coast. They defeat Japan by a final of 2-1. And you know what? You're seeing a great photo here on FIFA's website. You're seeing Steven Gerrard and Andre Pirlo shaking hands. They probably exchanged shirts, obviously. So it's probably a wonderful stuff going on here with what's been going on with the with England and Italy. But still, we had some great matches today. And you know what? I think we've had some fantastic officiating in these four games. I really do believe that. We have four great matches that were not ruined by referee decisions. We have great matches that were not ruined by referee decisions. And you know what? It's just a fantastic thing to see finally. Just finally a fantastic thing to see. And that it had to happen. It just had to happen.
So as I was saying before, that we have great matches today. Nothing went wrong. Nothing ever went wrong here with the officiating. It was just unbelievable what's been happening. And definitely, it's just great stuff. Great stuff to see. Great stuff to watch. And we are seeing probably one of the best World Cups we'll ever have. I'm telling you right now, we're going to have ourselves a hell of a World Cup. It's going to be absolutely awesome. It's going to be fantastic. This is one of those World Cups where you're just going to have to say that, you know, it's just been an absolute fun thing to see. Great action. And you know what? Once again, I have to go back to the match between Greece and Colombia. And once again, that's what we haven't seen in you know, it doesn't matter if it's in like the Premier League, it doesn't matter if it's in the Bundesliga, Serie A, in the in MLS, in La Liga, any league in Europe and South America, any league in the world, we've never seen sportsmanship like that. And to see Samarash telling Geiger, it's not a penalty, I know, I fell down by accident, I lost my balance, I tripped over I tripped myself with my feet. To see that happen and to finally say, you know what, that's what we don't have anymore. We don't have that anymore because everyone's diving. Everyone is like, you know, they're simulating these fouls. If it's not that hard of a foul, if it's not that big of a foul, they're going to start diving. They're going to go down in the area. They're going to start saying, hey, listen, I got taken down. And the other thing is that, you know, we don't see good sportsmanship like this. You know, FIFA says they're all about fair play. And we're not going to talk about those other things. But the point is that we're talking about fair play here. And we've never seen anything like this. And to be honest with you, this is really the second time we've seen something like this. Now, the first time, like I mentioned, was in that Bundesliga match. Now, I don't remember the teams. I've forgotten the names of the players, and I've forgotten the names of the teams. But I did see it on a Gold TV commercial that both players, you know, one got taken down in the area. The other one, and then he said that, you know, no, it's not. It's not a penalty because the referee did award a penalty, and the player who got taken down said, "No, it's not a penalty. I tripped over my own feet, so it's not a penalty." So the referee takes away the penalty, and then the other team, the player, does the same thing. The player all of a sudden says, "Hey, you know, listen, I tripped myself as well. It's not a penalty." And then you see everyone looking at each other like, "Oh, you know, great. Good job by you, good job on this, good job on that." And you know what? We've never seen that before. Because when will someone actually admit that they were taken down or they were not taken down? You know, we're seeing some great stuff here. We're seeing some wonderful stuff here as we get ready for these next great games coming up tomorrow, obviously. Once again, the first match on the East Coast, 12 p.m. Eastern, will start. The next match will be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the final match of the day will be at 6 o'clock at night. And once again, the next review show will be tomorrow at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, as once again I will be reviewing the days of the games that are going to be played in Brazil here, blogtalkradio.com/ Feuerstein's Fire, with, once again, great guests. So we're going to keep on going with this, and we'll see what happens.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, as we sit here and get ready for the reviewing or the previewing of the next three matches on tomorrow, Sunday, June 15th. First match will be Switzerland versus Ecuador at 12 p.m. Eastern, and then locally at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the next match will be France as they take on Honduras. So Honduras has an opportunity to do something big here with CONCACAF once again, and that's at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start, 4 o'clock Brazil local time. And then the final match of the night, Argentina versus Bosnia-Herzegovina, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 p.m. local Brazil time. Let's start off Argentina versus Bosnia-Herzegovina. You know, this is going to be one of the toughest or one of the most interesting matches we're ever going to see here, because this is the very first time that Bosnia-Herzegovina are going to the World Cup. Argentina, I think they watched what Uruguay did with Costa Rica. I don't think Argentina wants to have that type of performance that Uruguay had playing in this World Cup right now. Because I'm telling you right now, you have an opportunity where you're going to see Argentina, this is where they're going to have to put their foot and right on their throats. Because we're seeing a side coming in for the first time ever. And this is the Group F matchup for the day. We're going to see something interesting. We're going to see something wonderful. I'm telling you right now, guys, this is going to be a big-time match for Argentina. I'm not saying they have to blow that, but they have to make sure that they are playing a good match, a tight match, and a match that truly needs to be managed the right way, because I'm telling you right now, they are on South American soil. Forget that the World Cup is in Brazil. Just forget that for a minute. The World Cup is in your continent. It's in your backyard. It's not in Argentina, obviously, but that's not the point. The point is you're in South America. You're back in South America. All these players, I'm telling you right now, all these players, like Lionel Messi and many, many others, Higuain, they're going to have to start understanding that they cannot allow Bosnia-Herzegovina to go out and upset them, because if that happens, it is all over. It is all over, and they'll be basically 0 points in a group where, you know, Iran and Nigeria are going to be, along with Bosnia, you know, they're going to flip a coin to see who's going to take that second spot, because I think right now Nigeria has shown that they're susceptible to basically to a bad play once here and there. At the same time, Iran, we don't know much about Iran. All we know is that they qualified out of Asia to go to the World Cup. And that's the biggest question mark right now, is what is Iran going to do in these games, especially when they take on Nigeria on Monday. So that's the big question right now. That is the biggest question right now, but with Argentina, Bosnia-Herzegovina. Of course, Switzerland, Ecuador. Switzerland, you know, that's like the biggest question mark I think we have in this group right now, because they're supposed to be an up-and-coming power in Europe, and then when they have that opportunity to be that up-and-coming power in Europe, they just can't seem to grab a hold of it. I think Ecuador is going to be too fast for them. I think Ecuador could be too strong for them. And I really believe that Ecuador is probably going to take some – they're going to take 3 points here. I really believe Ecuador is probably going to beat up on the Swiss and turn them into cheese. Ooh, I just said that. That's well, you know, that defense has plenty of holes. You know where it came from. But anyway, that's something different. But anyway – yes, I had to go there. Yes, I had to say it. I'm sorry. It had to happen. I'm sorry about that. But, hey, what are you going to do? That's the situation that is in front of everybody. And, of course, France and Honduras. France needed the playoffs, even though they were in the small qualifying group in Europe with the side that had five teams. You know, Honduras has a great opportunity to get 3 points here if France is not careful. I think France can definitely win this match because I don't think that, you know, I think they're a better side than Honduras, obviously. But still, though, Honduras has a pretty good coach right now. To be honest, Honduras had themselves a hell of a qualifying campaign. They defeated the U.S. 2-1 in February in 2013. They only allowed a goal against the U.S. in Sandy, Utah, outside of Salt Lake City. Pardon me, but you know what they did? They took 3 points out of Mexico. We can definitely go on and on and on and on about what has happened in World Cup qualifying. I mean, let's once again, CONCACAF. Honduras, in their semifinal round group, they won three, they drew two, and they had a loss. But they finished third in the final round of qualifying in CONCACAF. The United States finished in first with 22 points, with only two losses, in Costa Rica and in Honduras. And Costa Rica finished second with 18 points, Honduras with 15 points in third. You know, this is the first time that Mexico had to use the playoff just to get into the World Cup. Now, don't forget, Panama should have beaten the U.S., but they let the U.S. tie late. And, of course, a late goal allowed the U.S. to beat Panama. And Mexico, who lost to Costa Rica in the final game away from the Azteca, you know, Mexico limped in with the playoff to face New Zealand. Of course, New Zealand's not much of a challenge anyway. So once again, we have to let our Mexican friends know that basically it's all over. It's just all over but the shouting. And once again, as I've said before many, many times, Mexico should thank the United States by giving U.S. soccer a cut of their promotional sponsors from those paychecks. I don't care which one it is. That's how I see things. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to see some more great action. And don't forget, everyone, don't forget, on Monday, June 16th, 6 o'clock Eastern, the United States will take on Ghana. Third consecutive World Cup tournament. The United States will face Ghana. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when the United States finally faces Ghana first instead of last or in the next round. because these are the situations that you live for, that you strive for, that you want to see happen. Because for the United States, this is not about revenge. This is about surviving your first group match and trying to move into position where you can advance out of the group stage. You need to be in good position to advance out of the group stage. And you need to make sure that everything goes smoothly and everything goes the right way. Does Klinsmann have a plan? He probably does. Sorry about that. Didn't want you to hear me sneeze. But anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll see what his starting 11 will be on Monday night, because it's getting close, my friends. We have a full day and two matches remaining before you, I, and the many others are going to come in, sit down in front of our computers, sit down in front of our TVs, and watch this game. This is going to be exciting. This is going to be a lot of fun. You know it. I know it. We're both ready for it. Let's go. Let's see what the boys can do. Let's see what they can do against Ghana this time around. They don't have to worry about them coming up next. They can worry about them coming up first. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be great. We are going to have ourselves a hell of a time here, everybody. And look at what's happened. Costa Rica finds a way to get 3 points because they never quit. They never gave up. They continued to play their game. And you know what? Mexico, let's be honest, Cameroon didn't really prove that much of a test for them anyway, because it looks like Cameroon was in another zip code. I think they went to a different part of South America. That's how poorly I think Cameroon played against Mexico. But let me also say this once again. Jeffrey Webb, the president of CONCACAF, who has taken over for Jack Warner, has done a marvelous job with this confederation. Jeffrey Webb has taken away all of those things that you feared on what was happening when Jack Warner was running this confederation. I don't think we're seeing any more shenanigans from the offices of CONCACAF. I don't believe we're seeing any more shenanigans of when you are expecting an official from this confederation, who's the president of this confederation, and how he runs this confederation. When you heard all those things about Jack Warner with the bribes, helping Bin Hammam, trying to become the new president of CONCACAF, going to those Caribbean countries to get their votes through financial bribes. All of the slithering of Jack Warner is gone. He's no longer involved in world football. And you know what? That's perfect by me. That's perfect by me. And you know what? Jack Warner, I'm glad he's not doing anything anymore with this confederation. Jeffrey Webb has done a fantastic job in a short amount of time, has given CONCACAF some respect. Thanks to my guests tonight, Mario C. Sfatos covering the Greeks, Diana Germano on Italy, Gary Richards on England. You know what, everyone? Thank you for your time listening to this show. This has been the FIFA World Cup Review Show Day 3. Get ready for some more action tomorrow. Join me tomorrow again, regular time, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, as once again we will be reviewing the next three great matches in this World Cup. Joining me, covering France, will be Jonathan Johnson from beIN Sports, ESPN FC, and many other outlets. Thank you for listening tonight. Have a good night. Enjoy your football. Let's see what more action we'll get, and let's hope we'll have some more conversations tomorrow. Thank you for listening tonight. Bye-bye for now. Good night, everybody.